Moto America fans, it's time for another episode of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you may even learn something from this unlikely pair and their special guest. The mic is yours, Paul and Sean.
Hello, Moto America fans. This is Paul Carruthers, and I'm the... What am I? I'm the communications manager for Moto America, and this is our weekly podcast, Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. As I mentioned, I'm Paul Carruthers, and I'm joined, as always, by Sean Bice, who's in the great state of Ohio. I'm out here in California, enjoying life, and we both get to see each other again next week as we go to Circuit of the Americas, which is, you know, if it's not our most beautiful facility we go to, it definitely ranks right up there with some of the other favorites. So this one's going to be interesting. Sean, we're going there by ourselves. In the past, it's always been with MotoGP and Moto2 and even Moto3, and then they would include us in their program as well. And this year we're going to go it alone and see how we can do with that. One of the things we've got that's going to be interesting, Sean, is I've been following the weather a little bit, and it's going to be extremely hot. As I mentioned, we've always gone with MotoGP, and it's always been in April, which is kind of obviously the opposite end of the spectrum as far as seasons and heat goes. So it's going to be interesting. I looked at it. Actually, I got tired of looking at it because I kept seeing 100, 101, 102, 100, 101. So I'm like, okay, it's just going to be hot and deal with it. So are you going to be okay out there? We're going to keep you alive?
I don't know, you know, especially, you know, Moto America fans and podcast listeners, we're going to talk a little bit about the weather, because here in Central Ohio, it's actually turned, it's comfortable. It's like it's been in the mid 70s this week. We haven't had a cloud in the sky. It's been just a beautiful, beautiful late summer time of the year, or weather wise. And you know, I am going to be going into the belly of the beast in that heat there. So that's going to be a little different. And Paul, this weather we're having out here feels like it's a little bit like, you know, San Diego, Southern California weather in terms of that comfortable climate. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a rude awakening for all of us. But, you know, the great thing is obviously we're going to have that place to ourselves, which is really fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, the only negative we've ever had when we've been there with Dorn is, you know, you're kind of, it's like you're a guest in their house when we're there with them. And sometimes it's, you know, they always do a good job of making us feel comfortable, but there's a lot of, I know for the teams and stuff, there's a lot of hassle that goes along with it. You know, they've got to get their stuff out to pit lane real quick, and then they've got to get it out of there real quick. And they're, you know, the practice sessions have been like sometimes 7:30 in the morning and then not do anything again until like, you know, 5 or 6 at night. So it's been a bit of a chore. So at least this way we'll be back to our regular schedule. We got a full program of classes and tons of racing. And I think that's a pretty good segue to our guest, because this young man is going to have plenty of racing to do there. And hopefully I have a feeling he's okay in the heat because he's a Florida boy.
Yep.
And so let's bring him in. Our guest today is Stefano Mesa. Stefano's third in the Supersport Championship, and he won race one at Pittsburgh for his first race win of the year. And then we got an announcement this past week. He's going to forego the Supersport Championship because he's got this, I guess you could almost say, a once in a lifetime opportunity to ride the Titleist BMW Superbike that's been vacated by Cameron Beaubier due to his injuries that he suffered most recently at pit race. So Stefano Mesa is going to get for the first time, I believe, in his career, he's going to get the chance to ride a top-notch superbike in the superbike class with the big boys of Moto America. And I can imagine he's very excited about that. We're going to talk to him in a second. And in addition to that, he's also going to race Super Hooligans. Sean, how do you pronounce the name of that bike?
Energica.
Energica.
Yep, Eva Rebel RS. But
well, there you go. So he's also going to be busy because he's going to ride that in the Super Hooligans class, as he has been for all the rounds that they've had so far. So Stefano, I'm a little tired just even talking about all the stuff you got to do. So how excited are you to get going and get down there? And also, before we forget, it's also a racetrack that he's never been to. So he's got a bunch of new things on his plate, and I have a feeling he's going to handle it just fine.
Yeah,
definitely. You know, thank you guys for having me, first of all. And yeah, I mean, just how you guys said, the news about the Superbike was a big surprise for all of us. But it was a decision. It was a hard decision to take, you know, because how you mentioned, I'm third in the championship, possibly battling for a second place in the championship, you know. But how you also mentioned, this is a one-time life opportunity that comes around. So it wasn't really putting it to the side of my books, you know.
Right. Now, you said that the decision was a bit difficult, and I can understand that. But this has been the first year, at least that I know of, that you've actually had like a team that wasn't so much dependent on you doing things other than riding the motorcycle. And that's with the Titleist Kawasaki that you've been riding in Supersport. And now you're making the move over to it's basically switching, you know, from one awning to the other, and this awning's a little bigger, and obviously there's going to be even more help for you. You've had a big change this year, just going from like the family run team to a team with a lot more backing. Is that accurate?
Yeah, you know, last year, as you mentioned, it's been quite some years that I've been running my own program with my parents, Mesa 37 Racing, and last year, before Laguna, Michael, the owner of Titleist Cycles, came up to me and he offered me the Energica ride. And I took it not really thinking about anything, but just other than riding a new bike and seeing what it was. And it definitely turned out to be one of my best decisions I made. I think accepting to do that challenge gave me opened the doors for me. For this year, for him supporting me with the whole team, and the way he did it and let me do it was definitely pretty cool, because he let me structure my team around myself and whoever I wanted in the team. So it was definitely very cool to just bring the people I knew in there and kind of have a team that I already knew and go to work immediately, you know. And I think we proved it. The first race was very, very good for us, was very successful. We had good finishes, and we've had a really good season so far. We've had a tremendous season. We've been battling at the front almost every race. So my hat's off to my Super Sport team. They've been giving me a great bike all year. It's been a great season for us. And obviously, if we didn't have the results we've been having, this opportunity of riding the super bike came about. So we've all worked for this, you know.
You know, Stefano, I've liked this season, how you've been set up, because it's like you're within the Titleist organization. But to your point and how you describe it, you had a little bit of a satellite operation off to the side and you got to do your own thing. But one of the first things I need to ask you, I don't think I'm putting you on the spot with this, but a guy who I admire a lot, and I know you do, Michael Godin with KWS Motorsports, been working with you. So now that you're not riding the super sport bike, is Michael, what's up? What's Michael doing now?
So yeah, Michael's like another father to me, you know. He's been pretty much in my corner for about 7 years now. Not working at the track with me, but he's been building all my bikes and he's my guy, my go-to guy, you know. So definitely a lot of connection there. And that's why I brought him on board to my team this year, because I knew we would work together good and we would have good results. And definitely, it's very sad leaving my team behind, but they have a very good team going on, and somebody's going to be on that bike at COTA in New Jersey finishing the season. I can't really say who it would be at the moment, but it's a very good choice, I think, and I think it's going to move the paddock a little bit. So just really looking forward to see what they can do on the bike and just keeping the program alive, you know?
Wow. Stefano, this is some breaking news, because, you know, I have the benefit of going through the entry list and seeing, and a lot of times it changes as we get closer to the round because riders are added or dropped off or things like that. And I have not seen that. Is this going to be a Mesa 37 Racing Kawasaki?
No, this will be a Titleist Racing team. It's going to be the team I was doing, the super sport team, is going to remain the same. The only thing that's going to change is going to be the rider. Another rider is going to come in to fill for me or finish the year out. And,
excellent. Yeah. So you're not really, so you're walking away from Super Sport for two races, but you're still in the field with the bike, and Michael Godin is he working with this other rider that's going to be announced?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So the rider's going to have the whole support I've been having. He's going to have all three guys I've been having this year, that it's Godin, Steven Roth, and Zeki Martinez, the data guy that comes from Argentina.
Yeah.
So this rider is going to have all the amenities I've been having all year. So really looking forward to see what they can do. I think the choice Michael took for the rider is a very good decision. I obviously threw the spoon in there and said a few names that I thought that was a good choice for the bike, but ultimately he took his decision. So I'm very happy he took it. I'm excited to see how all that's going to go off. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be a whole team. So the Super Sport team's not going nowhere yet. It's still there.
Wow, that's good news. It's good to hear. And the funny thing is, I was kind of thinking, you know, after the last round, you know, Xavi Fores, I mean, this is not saying anything that isn't known, because he's publicly stated this. He's been getting a little impatient with the fact that he's frustrated right now quite a bit. And I thought, well, gee, that 636 is not going to be in the equation now that Stefano's moving up, but that's not actually going to be the case. Good job. You're going to keep that Kawasaki in there so it can be a bee under Forrest's bonnet a little bit. That's good to know.
Yeah, I think after Pitt, we definitely got a little bit more under Chavi's skin. You know, I think at Pitt, we did a good job. Me and the team did a good job, and we won the first race. And Tyler was right there battling with us, and he escaped with the second win race. So we're definitely the class has picked up to Chavi's standards. I think we've been learning a lot from him. He definitely brought some talent to the U.S. and definitely taught us a few things. But I think we all went to work. You know, the class has been rolling pretty good. Everybody, there's the top five, top six on the classes. Anybody could win it, you know. So I'm excited to keep the bike in the grid, and I think the rider will do a good job at it.
Okay, well, good. I won't worry about Michael Godin anymore, and the rest of your crew, of course. So that's good news. So let's talk about the superbike situation a little bit. And you mentioned about, you know, Michael Kiley, and boy, he's got a huge commitment to you, Stefano. It's good to see that, and how you're the right one to do this. In place of Cameron Beaubier, that shut it down for the last two rounds of the season, last four races. But it's going to be interesting. So, you know, PJ Jacobson, one of the other riders on the team, is about of your stature. He's like a couple inches taller than you, but you guys are pretty close to the same size. Then you got crazy man 6'4" Corey Alexander over there, who's, you know, that's kind of interesting. I've always wondered about this anyway, but do you think that as far as setup and everything goes, I mean, I imagine you're probably going to talk more with PJ, because how well do you know him? And have you raced against him before for sure. So do you think you're going to rely on him a little bit more for setup, or are you just going to do your own thing? What's the plan?
You know, that's a hard question. As you mentioned, I've raced with both of my teammates in the past, and we've had some great battles in the past. So it's definitely very cool going to a team that I've kind of raced against, you know, I know them a little bit. But the Superbike is going to be a whole different animal. It's my first time hopping on something this caliber. It's going to be a full learning experience for me. I'm going to have my hands full, but I'm ready for the challenge. It's going to be very interesting. Hopefully I can rely on my teammates a little bit. You know, once we get to the racetrack, obviously it's kind of you're on your own sometimes, but definitely going to rely on my teammates a little bit, going to try and pick their brain. And honestly, it's just, I want to have some fun in the bike. And I know if I get the good feeling with the bike and I have some fun, maybe we can do something, you know?
Yeah. And since you've been part of that team, Stefano, and as far as your crew chief goes, Dave Weaver, I assume you know him, or you know of him. He's been in the paddock a long time. How well do you know him? And, you know, do you think you'll integrate with him well? And the other guys on the team, Seb Fontenelle and a couple of the other guys that worked with closely with Cameron, is that going to be pretty seamless for you?
Yeah, you know, so I think we're all aiming for the same objective. So I think it's going to be very seamless. We all kind of know what we're working against and what we got to work at, you know. So I've worked with Dave in the past a little bit, not such in depth, but at Daytona at the beginning of the year, he helped us out a little bit with the electric bike. So we've worked with each other a little bit. It's definitely going to be a learning experience because, I mean, the super bikes just apply so much more to everything. So I'm definitely going to have my hands full, you know. It's going to be, I'm very anxious. I'm very nervous. I'm a little nervous, you know. I'm not sure what to expect since it's such a good bike, you know. I know it has the potential to do very good. So hopefully we can pick it up real quick and do a good job with it.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think I probably speak for most people in the paddock. It's nice to see you finally get this kind of opportunity because you've obviously deserved it. You've been around a long time. You race more than anybody, I think, in that whole paddock with all the club stuff you do and things like that, that have obviously slowed down a bit this year because your focus has been on a full Moto America season. But I think everyone's excited to see what you can do. What part of it, like I always think, like how would I feel about going into this thing if I was him? And I don't, what part makes you the most nervous? Is it riding the bike? Is it that level of competition that's gone up? I mean, you're a guy that's used to getting your elbows out, and I don't think you're intimidated by anybody. But when you look at that class, there's a lot of intimidation there.
I don't look at it that way. You know, I've raced against all those dudes that are in the class in the past. You know, so not really intimidation. What intimidates me is mostly the bike. You know, it's such a nice bike, and honestly, such an expensive bike. You know, I haven't really ridden something so expensive. So that's honestly what intimidates me, but I'm ready to get my elbows out and do some battling. That's the plan. So hopefully I can have some good battles. And I mean, I honestly don't know what to expect, you know, but I'm not intimidated. The boys don't really intimidate me. We're all racing motorcycles. We're all having fun racing motorcycles. You know, we're just doing it a little bit faster and with a little bit more risk. So it should be a very cool experience, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be great. Looking at Coda, and I know you haven't ridden there before. I don't know if you've been watching videos or if you do video games or whatever, but I'm sure you have a pretty good idea of which way it goes. But is that going to be a difficult circuit to learn, or is it? And I mean, it's long, which usually makes things a little more difficult, and it's got some stuff that's blind, which makes it more difficult as well. But do you see that as being a big challenge, or the amount of racing you do at so many different circuits, you're probably pretty quick to adapt to different things?
I think it'd definitely be a little challenging just because it's so massive, and just because it's Circuit of Americas, you know. I think an advantage I have is that I go to a lot of new places and just kind of have to go fast immediately, you know. And this year I had to do it at the Ridge. So, and I kind of picked that up pretty quick, and I think the Ridge is a very, very tricky track. So, I'm just honestly just, I don't know how I'm going to tackle it. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. It's obviously going to be, it's going to be one of the hardest things to do, just to learn how to go fast on the big bike for sure. So I'm going to have my hands full learning the track in two different bikes at two different speeds. So it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, let me coach you up a little bit, Stefano, because listen, dude, you have been riding a leader bike for a while. You had been on that ZX10R, which is a very stout motorcycle, extremely fast. So you know how to ride a 1,000cc motorcycle. There's no doubt. Now, I totally get this is a fire breathing super bike with full electronic suite and all that on there. But the BMW is certainly known for having power and speed, which the Kawasaki has been that like that too. Now, for sure at Coda, it seems like by the way the Ducati does so well, which is a fast bike too, it seems like it's going to favor some horsepower and speed, which you're going to have without any problem there. And, you know, Cameron has talked about that so much, about how powerful that bike is. So aside from the somewhat intimidation of that bike, you got to feel pretty stoked about the fact that you're going to be on one of the best bikes in the paddock, especially at that track.
For sure. That's definitely gone through my mind. And I think that calms me down a little bit. I know I'm in great equipment. It's going to be fast and it's going to fit the track. I mean, the back straightaway at Coda is pretty damn long, you know? So I think the bike's really going to shine there. And I think if we find a good feeling with the bike and we make it work, maybe we can do something, you know. Hopefully we're just going out there to have some fun and learn something new, you know, no expectations, but obviously we want to do good for the team.
Now I want to transition a little bit. You know, I got a WhatsApp message yesterday from Valerio at Energica. So I want to talk to you about that a little bit. I've got a little bit of an assumption here in my mind. So I don't even know if there was a plan at some point, but you theoretically could have raced in three classes at Cody. You would have been in Super Sport, Superbike, and also in Super Hooligan National Championship. So I guess what I'm wondering is this, did you make the decision because you have a commitment to Energica? And I know they're very active about trying to showcase their bike and this electric bike being so different, and you've had good results on it. I mean, you actually got a whole shot on that bike, first one, against a lot of internal combustion engine motorcycles already this year. So was it a little bit that your commitment to that company to kind of continue that and maybe put aside Super Sport?
Yeah, for sure. The commitment with Energica is definitely very big. I think we've done a great job this year showing the bike and see what it can do. We've been working on developing the bike, and I think for next year we're gonna keep developing the bike and trying to make it better and more. How do I say it? Right, more ready to be at the front of the pack, you know. So we're definitely gonna keep working on that, and that decision was kind of made by Michael Kiley, the team owner. At this point, I told him, listen, I'm a soldier and I'm ready to do whatever you need me to do and ride whatever you need me to do. So he kind of told me, well, if you want to take the super bike ride, I would prefer if you kind of put the Super Sport to the side because our focus is in the Energica, and I was totally okay with it. You know, that's what Michael wants. I'm a soldier. I'm ready to ride, you know. I'm riding motorcycles, so whatever I'm riding, I'm having fun, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and the people, for the Energica people that I know of, Valerio and also Stefano Benatti, they are really, really motivated and love the fact that you're riding their bike in Super Hooligan, and I think it's been a great marketing exercise for them as well as proof of concept. I mean, obviously, you're showing them some stuff, learning some things about an electric race bike and what you can do, and boy, it's come a long ways. I mean, we did a little piece on you at Laguna and all the, how the, it looks like something from Back to the Future, that you have that thing plugged in to cool it down and charge the battery and everything in your pit box. So it's quite an interesting piece to see. And I still can't get over, Stefano, the fact that you don't shift it, you don't use the clutch, you just twist the throttle. It's amazing to me that's how that thing works. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, the boys for Energica has been awesome all year. They're doing the same thing we're doing. They're trying to do the best we can, trying to really showcase this bike and what electric's all about. So my hat's off to all those guys that have done a great job. And how you say, they're such nice guys, such down to earth, and just really, really love the sport. You know, even if it's gas, they're always cheering for me on the other classes when I'm out there. So it's definitely very cool to have a crew that's just there to support you and have fun. Don't matter what you're riding, you know?
So Stefano, I want to ask you, we're going to Coda, Circuit of the Americas, and obviously you live in Florida, but we put you down as Colombian nationality and you're from Medellin, Colombia, I believe. What does it mean to you to race at Circuit of the Americas? It's obviously closer to a larger Hispanic Latino population. Do you, and I know when you come into are on our podiums and when you come into our press conferences, you've got the flag draped over you, you know, Colombian flag. Does it give you extra juice to kind of be at Coda in front of what I would think would be a crowd that really is going to be focusing on you?
Well, you always want to do the best you can. Doesn't really matter who's there. You're always trying to do the best you can, you know. But definitely trying to showcase in front of the Latinos is always awesome. I'm personally going to have a lot of people coming from overseas to COTA just because it's COTA. You know, a lot of people are going to come and support me and hang out. So it's definitely going to be a cool experience learning a track, being closer to the Latino people. And hopefully we had a bunch of Latinos out there supporting.
Okay, so you're going to show up there and you haven't been there. You haven't ridden the bike. So I guess that first session, take me through that a little bit, because obviously when the team gets set up on Thursday, you'll sit on the bike and they'll adjust the levers and the things that you, the way you want them. But that's really about all they can do. Will that bike start out the way that Cameron last rode it? Or, cause I don't think they would have, I don't know what they have as far as data from the last time we were there.
That's a great question. I couldn't really answer that question. That's mostly probably a question that Dave would answer.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm hoping, I haven't even looked at the schedule, but all I'm hoping is I get to ride the Super Hooligan bike first. So I kind of know where I'm going.
Oh yeah. That would be
the super bike.
Yeah. That would be helpful.
That would be the best scenario, you know, cause obviously trying to go learn the track on the super bike is going to be very challenging, but I'm up for it. Whatever, however it comes, I'm going to tackle it and do the best I can. And, hey, it's a track. It goes left or right. And, probably seen one of those, all those corners at some of the tracks. So just kind of putting it together and, just working at it, you know?
Well, it's funny cause Sean brought it up with the electric bike and no shifting, no this, no that. I mean, it's probably the best bike in the world to learn a circuit on because you don't have to worry about that stuff. You just have to worry about learning the track.
Yeah, you just worry about giving it some gas and some brakes and turning. It's simple, very simple.
Yeah, so Stefano, that's a question I've got too. Is taking all of it into consideration, I think I know the answer to this, but I still want to ask you. Is the Energica an easier bike to race than a regular internal combustion engine bike?
Not like that. It got its challenges. It might shine in some places, like maybe in the brakes. We're doing a lot of stuff on a gas bike. We're going through shifts. We're messing with the clutch. You know, we're having to do a lot with the bike to make it go into the corner the way we want it. With the Energica, it's not like that. It's kind of like just grab the brakes and kind of put the weight where you want it, you know? So it's definitely very different, but it might be easier. It might be more rider friendly, but you still got to do some things that you wouldn't do like on a gas bike to make it work. The chassis are very different. The power delivery is completely different. So some things might transition over and some things might not.
Yeah. You know, I think I might even equate it to, you know, in a general sense, a lot of people can ride motorcycles or know how to ride motorcycles. Not a lot of them know how to race them or go fast. So I think maybe probably that's what you're trying to say. The other thing about COTA, and I know you know which way the track goes and how the layout is, I have trouble fitting into my head this idea of on that front straightaway, you go like a bat out of hell up that hill, and then you almost turn around and go 180 degrees. It's not quite, but you bend back and go the other way a little bit. That first turn has got to be, you got to be wondering what that's going to feel like. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I've heard it's like a roller coaster, and I hear the uphills help you slow down. So I know that's going to be a challenge to figure that corner out, especially because you really gotta slow down for the slowest part of the corner, you know, to make the corner. So it's definitely going to be interesting, but it's a challenge I've been through already. So just looking forward to it. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So let's talk. I haven't asked you about this recently. Well, there's a couple of things I got to kid with you about, Stefano. One of them is Paul and I know this fully well. We'd get you in the past years when you were, I call you a mercenary. You would show up and chase the money and you'd get on the podium. You'd win, you'd get on the podium and we'd always go, hey, so you're going to be at the next round. No, dude, I don't think so. You know, and then of course, then we'd find out you did show up or something, but we never knew what you're up to. So at least now that you're on this team, we know you're going to be there. We know we're going to be able to talk to you. So I just want to tell you, I'm kind of happy that you have that consistency in your life, but that has to feel pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, you're not, it's got to be less hectic for you.
Definitely feels awesome. Getting the support from Tyler's. I can't thank Michael, Kylie, and the whole family and my whole team for just being by my side and supporting me throughout the year. I mean, honestly, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't know what I would be doing this year. You know, I would probably be doing the same thing I've been doing past years. Maybe yes, maybe not. We'll see if I can show up, you know, but very grateful for them for giving me the opportunity. They definitely took a chance on me, and I think I've proved to the paddock and to some people that with good equipment and good people behind me, I can get the deal done. And we're always learning, we're always trying to learn from the best. So going to the Yamaha Champ School and working with them has been a blessing too. Working with fast people and just listening to the curriculum over and over has helped a lot, and just trying to learn and trying, like, every lap counts. This year has been like every lap counts. Every lap I have to be doing something to be better. Every lap I have to try something different to be better. And just every lap has to be as fast as I can. There can't be no slow laps, you know? So everything's been better this year. Everything's clicked much more. Having great crew behind me has been great. Having Michael behind me and just Steven and Seki, having a data guy behind me, has been great. I've learned a lot about data. I've learned a lot about a motorcycle, how a motorcycle works. I've actually learned a lot about how myself works on top of a motorcycle. So it's been a great year, for full of learning experiences, and very grateful for just all the opportunity that's come my way this year. You know, it's been a great year. It's been a great year for my career. We've showed a lot of potential, and hopefully we just keep growing as a rider. You know, that's what it's all about.
I mean, I'm just personally thrilled to see that you're not having to change your own tires anymore. That's what.
100%. Now I can concentrate on going fast, you know, not on all. What tire do I have to go get?
That's right.
Yeah, that had to be hard.
Hey, so we're getting ready to wrap up here, but I want to ask you, I haven't talked to you about this in a little while, and you know, with everything going on this year, and you've been we usually are talking about you being on the podium or winning, or you know, interviewing you about the Energica or things like this, but I want to check in with you on how are things with your mom and dad, and especially your dad. You know, a couple of years ago, I mean, I knew he was having a tough time with some things, and you were going to give up a kidney to him. So what's, you know, if you don't mind me asking some fairly intimate questions about your family and your dad, are things pretty good now?
Yeah, my family's all good. My dad's still in the same conditions. He still needs a kidney. My dad does dialysis every day for 8 hours a day. So I'm honestly very grateful that he still can make it to the track and support me. I was going to give him my kidney, but unfortunately that wasn't the case.
Right.
But we're still here and we're still having some fun, you know?
Stefano, what does he do when he's at the track? Does he have to find a dialysis center in the area where the racetracks are?
No, he's lucky enough that he has a machine that he travels with, and he does it by himself.
Okay.
So it's called peritoneal dialysis. So there's two ways of doing dialysis, which is the way you were explaining. You have to go to the clinic and get your blood run through the system, and that's very hard on the patient. They go through a triathlon every time they do dialysis that way, because they get their heart pumping so fast because it has to keep up with the system. So it's very hard on the patient. So he's doing the peritoneal dialysis, which is at home. So it's not as hard on him, but honestly, it kind of sucks because he has to be plugged up to a machine 8 hours a day. So he tries to do it at night, so sometimes he can't sleep. So it's hard on him, but he got the hang of it. He feels okay when he does it, and he's in the list to get a kidney. So hopefully, that's honestly a hard scenario there, but honestly, hopefully he gets it here soon.
Well, you certainly do your family proud and your mom and dad. I mean, I know they obviously love you so much and think the world of what you're doing. I mean, it's so fun to see the smile on your mom's face whenever I see her. I mean, she's just such a joy to be around. And it's great that this is going to be something we'll see with you in Superbike in these next two rounds, too. So that's something real, real cool. I got one more I want to ask you. This is something I didn't know until I read this or heard about it a while back. So let's go way back to when you were younger. You got hurt. Can you tell us about what happened? And do you have any effect from that at all anymore?
Yeah, I got, well, I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
Your head injury.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So when I was young, this was maybe when I was like 5 years old, 6 years old. I was with my father in Colombia and we were riding back from the farm on a scooter. And it started drizzling and I wasn't wearing a helmet. And unfortunately, we went down and I hit my head against the sidewalk. Oh. And after that, I was already doing a little bit of dirt bikes back in the day. And after that, I kind of told I got scared and I went away from the bikes and I told Dad I didn't want nothing to do with bikes. And that lasted about maybe 4 years. And then I started getting involved with bikes around my farm and then started doing some motocross. But I don't think it goes through my head anymore. You know, the one that goes through my head is my biggest career injury, which is a Daytona one. I lost my brakes going into turn one at 200 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. So that one definitely goes through my mind sometimes. But as a racer, you have to block all that stuff out. You know, it happens and stuff happens and hopefully it won't happen again.
Yeah. And I mean, you had the big get off this year, too. I'm not trying to accumulate all the bad stuff, but I figure it's better to ask you about it this on and off weekend than it is when you're focusing on racing. But this year, are you good to go with that? I mean, obviously, that was a scary crash that you had then, too.
Dude, that was probably one of the worst ones of my career. It was definitely very violent. I was so lucky. I was wearing great leathers, a good helmet. I mean, Dainese, the airbag definitely saved me. I would have gotten hurt if I wasn't wearing an airbag. So my hat's off to Dainese for protecting me this year. I had a great helmet on top of me. KYT definitely saved me. I didn't even have a concussion after it. That's why I was cleared to go race the Super Hooligans after it. But, I mean, that was a wild one, you know, but again, I try not thinking about it. I still see it on Instagram. Sometimes I see it pop off, you know, so, it was definitely a ride. That was a wild ride, but I'm lucky nothing happened. My gloves fell off. I was wearing some other brand. I wasn't wearing Dainese gloves. So now I wear my Dainese gloves because I learned my lesson. So my hat's off to all these people that keeps us safe out there. You know, they do a great job developing these products and making them better and better for us every year. So I'm grateful for them that nothing happened to me this time.
That's great. That's a good place to wrap. Well, listen, we're going to see you next weekend and wish you all the luck. I mean, this is such a cool thing. You're racing in Medallia Superbike for Tytler Cycle Racing on a BMW M1000RR and your teammates with PJ Jacobson and Corey Alexander in the Deep End, our premier series. And you'll also be racing in Energica Eva Rebel RS in the Mission Super Hooligan National Championship. So two chances to see, well, more than four chances to see Stefano race out there at COTA. We wish you all the best this weekend, acclimating that track and that bike. Stefano, you're truly a great guy and we love checking in with you and we couldn't be happier.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for having me. Thanks for the good words. And also thanks for asking me about the family. As you know, they're a huge part of it. So
yes,
we'll all be there at COTA and try and give them hell.
All right. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.